I'm Stephanie Coxon.
And I'm Kathy Anderson Martin.
And we are two women influencing real life. So let's twirl. So here we are. We are 4 years past the time that we went into shutdown.
Yes, it's the anniversary.
It's approaching the anniversary when the world shuts down. So week two of us talking about it. But I think today's guest is going to give us a lot of insight. And I have to tell you, I applaud the courage. I'm super excited to bring this guy on because I was, you know, people were telling me left and right, I have to get the shot because I'm going to lose my job. And I kept on saying, your job can fire you tomorrow. Why are you doing something that you don't want to do for a job? And a lot of people just did not have courage. And I think this person's courage is exemplary of, I mean, just gave up so much. And I think people need to hear that story.
Absolutely. I'm very excited to talk to him.
Yeah. But before I introduce him, I do want to know how you're doing with your heel right bars.
Well, I said that I've tried all the bars. You told me I was a child because I tore right into them as soon as I got them to try each flavor.
Yes.
And I did. And
you took a bite of like each flavor. And,
I did.
Which is ridiculous.
It came to the door. I wanted to try it.
I thought we would do it together. Like we'd open the box. I would call you.
Well, you've got to be a little quicker on the.
Like 30 seconds?
No. You didn't try them for the next day. I tried it right away. And then I got my husband to try them. And he's probably been more faithful in eating them than I have because he really, really enjoys them in the morning, like for breakfast.
Well, so. And I need to call the company because I need to know if there's a limit.
Of how many you can eat.
Yes.
I don't think you're supposed to like dine on them all day.
I know, but I would like to know if there's a limit. I need to give them a call. They're so easy and they taste so good compared to what I normally like snack on.
Well, you know, I did do some research since we talked about them last week and we're excited to have them that I did not know this, that 87% of Americans have issues with metabolic health, metabolic dysfunction. And I've learned it because you were talking about that with some friends about metabolic issues. And that can include everything from blood sugar, cholesterol, inflammation, weight, being out of whack. It really is amazing. And these bars are to reset that metabolic health.
I hope that this encourages you more to stay on track.
Yes. And I need that. So thank you for bringing that. I think we're supposed to now do our lead in, aren't we?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You're trying to get out of this.
I am. But they are very good and, you know, very, very much something we should try. And we need that kind of, we need our health as we're going to get into.
We do. And you get a discount if you get it through America Out Loud, which I think is pretty awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So make sure you get that discount. But today we have got a West Point graduate with us, former Lieutenant Colonel in the U.S. Army, over 19 years of active service, and actually ended up resigning over the COVID shot mandate.
Wow.
And not a lot of people did that. I actually have quite a few stories. But Brad Miller has become an outspoken voice for freedom, critic of government overreach. I think we're going to be friends with him.
Yes.
Just on that, we're going to be friends. And an advocate for accountability within the wayward military. I'm really going to like this guy. So I am Stephanie Coxon.
And I am Kathy Anderson Martin.
And we are two women inspiring real life. So let's twirl. Brad, thank you so much for coming on air with us today. I saw your story. I was wildly impressed because the courage to walk away from something after 19 years. And let me just ask you right off the top, what happens at 20 years of service?
Yeah. So at 20 years, you would qualify for a retirement pension.
And so at 19 years, what happens?
You do not require for a retirement pension.
So that was a big thing for you at 19 and 20 years, a lot happens. Or there's a big difference.
Yeah. I mean, you either do qualify or you don't. So in that regard, there's not necessarily a partial or a, you know, some sort of prorated pension for making it almost to 20. No, that's not a thing.
Had your plan been to be career military that like from after 20 years?
So when I first went to West Point, I didn't necessarily know. So when you go to West Point, you graduate, you know, you're going to have a commitment for 5 years. So I knew I was going to do at least five. At that point, I didn't necessarily know whether or not I would stick around for 20. And in fact, at about the 6 or 7 year mark, I had already fulfilled my initial commitment that was required of me after graduating from West Point. I almost got out. Now, I mean, clearly I didn't, but I almost did. But then once I got to kind of the 11, 12, 13 year mark, like most officers, you're over the halfway point. And so at that point, you pretty much see yourself, assuming that things continue to go well and you progress in your career, you typically see yourself making it to at least 20. And I had told myself, I had kind of told myself in my head that if things were continuing to do well or to go well, that I would probably do about 25. That's kind of the mark, the mental mark that I had in my own head. Didn't quite make it, but I'm happy with the way things have turned out. I mean, let me qualify that statement. When I say I'm happy with the way things have turned out, given the circumstances, I am happy with the way things have turned out. Obviously, I'm very frustrated. I don't believe that any of this should ever happen, but it did happen, and I'm happy with the route that I took, if that makes sense.
Well, I mean, you're not falling over dead because you wanted to keep your career.
Or blood clots or anything else.
Right. So. I mean, you're doing good. You're doing, you know, I can't tell you. I mean, I hate to say this, but I can't tell you how many people I've met who took it to travel or took it to do something, and they're suffering pretty severe, sure, you know, consequences of it. And so from that standpoint, it's really good that you didn't.
Yeah, of course. I don't even think that's the primary reason as to why I didn't go along with it, though. That is a reason. But I never believed what we were being told about this whole thing, just the whole narrative. I mean, I was skeptical from day one, and I'm not here to tell you that I knew exactly what was going on in the early days of 2020. But I knew that we were not being told the truth. And so as we got closer to the end of 2020 and then into early 2021, and we start hearing the talk about, you know, they're going to create this, you know, so-called vaccine. I mean, there was just never a moment in my mind to where I was going to take that. And in fact, if I had taken it, one, you're right, I'd be potentially compromising my own health. But another reason that is perhaps more important, at least in that it's about other people and not just me, but I also just feel like I would be compromising my own integrity, and I would be assisting whoever the architects of all this are in further just kind of, you know, destroying our own rights and freedoms. And there's just no way I was going to go along with that. You know, I wasn't going to just live a lie for the sake of my own career or money or even a pension or whatever.
Well, can we go back just a second? And you had said that you had a feeling, you know, or, you know, that you knew things were off. What were the indications that you thought things were off? I mean, to me, you being in the military, a colonel in the military.
Yeah. Lieutenant colonel, but yeah.
Gives a lot more credence to something is off, right? You have more information, you know, to really come to that conclusion.
And we talked about that last week between Stephanie and I, and are both kind of, I mean, I came a little later, but just, you know, something didn't seem right. So what was your journey in that, or kind of, you know, what the red flag, so to speak?
Yeah. So it started long before 2020 and COVID, but I'll get to that in just a second. But in 2020, I was actually stationed in South Korea. So I had been in, I was stationed in South Korea from the summer of 2017 until the summer of 2020. And that's important, or maybe not important, but it's kind of an interesting fact when you look at it, because of course the story is that this originates in Wuhan, China, or in, you know, East Asia. I'm stationed in South Korea, and a lot of Americans may not realize, but South Koreans are already wary of China. And there's already this thought in South Korea, which is probably true, that a lot of the pollution over the Korean Peninsula is pollution that originates in China and travels across the sea. So in the Korean citizen's mind, if there is some sort of problem that originates in China, it can quickly become a problem in South Korea. So when this is happening and information is just starting to come out in the media, you know, with the initial reports, South Koreans are concerned. And then the American command, the American military command, is also quite concerned. I'm not going to tell you that I was unconcerned, but I was still very skeptical because I didn't know exactly what was going on. I didn't know what we were being told. And I had long learned to not necessarily place a whole lot of credence in what we're told by the U.S. government, which is an uncomfortable reality when you work for the U.S. government because you're in the military. So what I'll say about
that, I find that interesting when you say that, because you're saying this as a perspective of a lieutenant colonel in the Army,
right?
Yeah. It's an uncomfortable reality. So years earlier, you know, I lightly alluded to this a few minutes ago. So I mentioned that at about the 6 or 7 year mark in my military career, so this would have been roughly 2009, 2010-ish. I graduated from West Point in 2003. So I was a junior captain at that time, and I almost got out of the Army. And the reason that I almost got out of the Army was because I just felt like it was nothing against the military, but I just felt like I'm not sure that I can trust the government to rightly and lawfully and constitutionally employ the military. I am very distrustful of that. So these were the conversations that I was having in my own mind in 2009 or 2010. And I went through that internal debate for probably, I don't know, I mean, maybe 2 years. So anyway, I stayed in the Army. I ultimately said, you know what? I like the military as an institution. I trust the military as an institution. I do not trust the government, but we do need good people. And we need good people in the military. So I stayed in. So fast forward now a decade or so later. And now, particularly as we move deeper into 2020 and then into 2021, so a little bit more of the picture of what COVID is or isn't, but just kind of the greater context of the whole situation, that picture is starting to form with a little bit more clarity, right? And so now my picture of the world, my worldview, if you will, is 10 years, you know, I'm 10 years older, 10 years more mature, a more refined worldview than 10 years previous. Now, I really don't trust the government. I trust the government much less in 2020 than I did in 2010. But at this point, when I see the military's role in this, now I'm past the point that I was at 10 years prior, where I could say back then, the military still needs good people. The problem with COVID, particularly when I see where we're at with the mandate to take the shots, is now I can no longer trust the military. The military has collectively gone astray, and I can't be in this organization anymore because I take very seriously the oath that I took to the Constitution. And so so I was relieved of command. I was a battalion commander in the summer of 2021. So I was in command of about 500.
Can I ask you a quick question? Were you relieved of your command because of refusing to take the shot? Is that what led to it? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I took command of a battalion. You know, my battalion was about 550 soldiers. So I took command of a battalion within the 101st Airborne Division in the summer of 2021. This is in June. So to set the timeline, I take command of the battalion on June 10th, 2021. The mandate would go into effect 2.5 months later on August 24th, 2021. But in June, even though the shot is not mandatory yet, the writing is very much on the wall. And I mean, I can tell you the day that I took command, at the ceremony in which I am formally receiving command of the battalion, I knew in my mind, there is no way I make it through the 2 year duration of this assignment without getting fired. There's no way, it's not gonna happen. I knew then that I would be fired. So 2.5 months later, the mandate goes into effect, and we knew it would, it was just a matter of time. The mandate goes into effect about 2 months after that in October of 2021, I was formally relieved of command for refusing to take the shot. And then a couple of months later, once I realized that the mandate was in fact unlawful, I always had constitutional problems with it. I clearly believe that it was unconstitutional. I actually believed it was criminal and even treasonous. But a couple of months later, it also became very clear to me that it was also very specifically unlawful and that the entire mandate was predicated upon the existence of an FDA-approved product, but there was no available FDA-approved product when the mandate went into effect. So I just realized at this point, and I actually wrote a resignation letter to the headquarters of the Human Resources Command in the Army, And I had to put a blurb in there as to why I was seeking to resign. And I said, I can't remember the exact words verbatim, but I said, you know, I see now that the senior leaders of the military, or that my values no longer align with the values of the senior leaders of the military. And so I therefore feel that the best course of action that I can pursue at this time is to resign. So I resigned.
You know, in regards to that FDA proof shot, I do not believe it's actually ever been available within the US market. I don't know right. that people realize that or not. No one's ever actually been able to get that particular supposed FDA approved. Right. Was it Comirnaty or Comenity? Yeah, something Comirnaty. Like that. Yeah.
Which means, and again, I'm not a lawyer, but to me, there was clear fraud. So there was clear collusion between the DOD and the FDA to commit fraud, because what you have is those two agencies together. They are misrepresenting an unlicensed product that is available, which is the Pfizer BioNTech, as a fully licensed but unavailable product, Comirnaty. And there's this entire conflation between the two. And then they put out some verbiage a couple of weeks later after the mandate went into effect, where they say, well, you can use the two interchangeably, but they are legally distinct. So, I mean, this is just cover language to try and protect them. But it's all, in my mind, it's just very clear fraud.
Yeah. And I mean, illegal because it's experimental, correct?
Yeah. It's experimental. Yeah. Yeah. So all the shots that people were taking were experimental. Yes.
Right. And it was approved under an emergency use, right?
Yeah. Right.
Because it couldn't have regular approval.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, wow. So you resigned. Now, let me go back here for just a second. There were people, you know, I spoke to people in the Air Force, and I don't know if any of this happened to you or not, but one of the gentlemen I spoke with, and I had extensive conversations trying to help where I could, just any, I don't know, anyway, just having conversations and trying to get word out there and whatnot and educate. But one of the things that happen routinely within the military is that if you refuse the shot, they would take you kind of by yourself and punish you in different ways. So
I've heard that as well.
So for an example, I had one guy who I was speaking to out of the Air Force, who they would not allow him to enter the U.S. again. They had him in a tent in the cold. They took him out of the barracks wherever he was staying, forced him into a tent when in freezing cold conditions, and basically isolated him outside from anyone else. And they did all sorts of different tactics similar to that.
Yeah.
Threatened, you know, for them not to see their parents again or whatever. Yeah.
Too.
Did anything like that happen to you?
No, it's a little bit harder to do that to a lieutenant colonel than it is to a younger soldier. And I don't mean that to brag. I mean that to say I'm very aware that that type of stuff happened to very young service members, because they're a lot younger. They're more junior. It's harder for them to kind of assert their rights. They may not even necessarily be aware of how to kind of assert their rights if they're 18 or 19 or 20 years old and they only have maybe 12, 18, 24 months in the service. It can be so. I say that to say, what happened to a lot of those individuals is absolutely horrendous, because their rights were completely violated. And a lot of that is absolutely 100% unlawful coercion that took place.
As you were speaking, I just think the magnitude of what he did. And you started by saying there are people that we talked to that said, I took the shot because I wanted to travel.
Right.
I wanted to do this or that. He gave 19 years of his life in service to our country. And thank you for that, by the way. We love and appreciate our military, but 19 years, 1 year, you know, before retirement.
Not even a full year, right?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So it's like 8.5 months.
And a half months. And you would have.
Yes. Had full retirement. So I just bring that, because that's what I was thinking as he's talking. Right. That is a true, to me, and I thank you, Brad, a true patriot.
Yes.
And for all the reasons.
I would follow you in battle.
Yes.
You would not want me in battle. So we should just clarify that right now. I would cry a lot.
Yeah. Well, you know, so I think in a very real sense, you know, we are in a war right now. Now, it may not be, you know, tanks, bombs, and guns, but we are in a war. I don't even use that metaphorically. We're in a war. It's just, it looks a little bit different. And, but there are very clear strategies that are being used against us. And unfortunately, extremely unfortunately, there are also very real casualties. And we've seen that, you know.
I look at it as a propaganda war. I mean, that's where I really see a lot of this, is that people are so confused. There's so much disinformation out there. that people don't know how to make decisions anymore a lot of times. And I think it's important for people to know there are people assigned in the military to go and give disinformation to other countries, and probably in the US as well, I would imagine. But there are actually people who are assigned those types of jobs. You know, you want to confirm that or say, nope, you're crazy?
No. Those types of jobs do exist, but they should not be operating domestically. So, you know, when you talk about the military should not be doing that type of stuff domestically. And even intelligence agencies, which do that abroad, should not be doing that domestically. Now, they do it domestically, but they're breaking the law in doing so. But yeah, so the psychological component of warfare is often underestimated. And it's often underappreciated, but it is extremely important. And if people disagree, then what they don't realize is that they themselves are victims of psychological warfare, and they don't even realize it. So there's another term that kind of means the same thing as psychological warfare that I actually prefer, and that is worldview warfare. So worldview warfare is a term that originated in Germany. And so, but I like that term a little bit better because I think it's a little bit more descriptive, because if you can attack the way in which if you can attack the comprehensive system of what someone believes, and then therefore the way that they act, then you can attack that person in ways that cut very deeply, and that person may not even recognize that they are, in fact, being assaulted in that way. Now, there are many of us that do realize that that's at least happening, but it's also almost, you know, impossible for us to determine the degree to which it is happening. But then there are other Americans out there that won't even admit that this kind of stuff is going on.
That's what I think is so scary. I mean, just through this whole COVID thing, I mean, and a lot of things that I talk to people, and they just are like, they either they refuse to believe it, as you said, or sure, they just put blinders on and can't, there's something like, even though all the evidence, you know, or whatever, they just absolutely cannot face the truth. And I don't know what that's all. I mean, maybe we should have a psychologist on here, because it's amazing to me, you know, true, that, but you're exactly right. I can't understand it.
Yeah. So what I would say about that is, there's a term that I use. I don't know if other people use it. If not, then I guess I coined it. I'm just kidding. Partially though. But, I like to use the term deep war. So deep war. So what this means is that we're in the midst of a war, even when we don't recognize that we're in a war. But then, you know, like people use the term, you know, deep politics, or they'll use the term, you know, the deep state or whatever. That's kind of the way in which I'm using the term. But think about it this way as well. So there's war that attacks the body because it's physically kinetic, you know, bombs, tanks, guns, explosions, etc. There's war that penetrates a little bit deeper than just physical violence, which is, you know, the psychological component that we just spoke about. But you can go even deeper than that. I mean, you can take this past the psychological to, you know, the spiritual element, to where you are getting at, you know, the true essence of what a human being is. And I think that is absolutely going on as well. So we are in the midst of a war that is far deeper and penetrates much further than we almost even have the capacity to understand. And there are documents which to some degree even talk about this happening. For example, there are NATO documents that talk about the principle of cognitive warfare, you know, where they are attacking your ability to think.
I know, but I think this is so important for people to hear and to understand, because, you know, you're most, the enemy that can hurt you the most is the one you don't recognize, and sure, one that you ignore. And, you know, we have to be aware of what's happening, and appreciate you so much for sharing this, because, you know, from a military perspective, and that these things happen.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of people, you know, like you said, that just, they're not even recognizing they're a part of this. You know, I told my dad I was going on the radio, so he might want to listen to the show. And he goes, well, how were they nice to you? How do they feel about you being an alternative help? And I'm thinking, really? Like, that's your question? Like, he's so blind to anything outside of mainstream.
Of what he sees and hears.
Of what he sees and hears. It's hard for him to understand that people are nice to me. You know, so, hey, there's that. It was interesting, but I think we're here. We're close. We've got to go to break for a second. Let's come back and let's talk some more of this about the psychological warfare.
You can find out more about our show and get all the latest podcasts if you go to the menu navigation bar at America Out Loud under Our Shows or Schedule. You'll be in the know. And be sure to make AmericaOutLoud.com your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. We all must do our part and share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, and videos so we can help secure America's future.
Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Be a part of a revolutionary new healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interests of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The buildup of spike proteins is dangerous to your health. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body, removing the spike proteins, allowing your body to repair from within. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to americaoutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutLoud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutLoud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutLoud.news. A place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
So we're talking about psychological warfare, and I know one of the things that I actually just wrote an article about this. I want people to understand, I compare a lot of the way we are guided in life to Pavlov's dog. I think that you can sum a lot of what has happened psychologically, people, through this dangling carrot, this positive stimuli.
Conditioning.
Yeah, it's all conditioning. You know, and I compare it, you know, almost everything that we do, whether it's a credit card that you sign up for to get your cash back, or you get used to getting rewarded for something, then that reward is taken away. So whether it's them trying to get you to use a self-checkout line, I'll never forget when Panera first got their self-checkout, they were giving everyone a cookie for going to the self-checkout. they did that for, I don't know, 3-4 months, and all of a sudden the cookie was gone, but you're still going to self-checkout because you've created that behavior, right? And it seems like no matter what the scenario is, whether it's the credit card and moving towards digital currency, whether it's the self-checkout lines, there's always that conditioning that has happened to people. And I think it's used on us more than we realize, and that it's been used on us. And I'm sure there's a lot more psychologically going on, but I can literally see it in almost every aspect of life. I mean, what do you think are some of the psychological conditioning that is happening across the board, like with what you're seeing with your experience in the military?
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny. The first thing that came to mind as you were kind of talking about that is, and this isn't exactly, I'll get back to your question. This isn't exactly conditioning, but it did come to mind and I kind of wanted to mention it. But, you know, in George Orwell's book, 1984, there's a part in there where it talks about the, everyone's chocolate rations are reduced. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it's like reduced from 30 grams to 10 grams, but then it's raised to 20 grams. And of course, when it's raised from 10 to 20, of course, the government makes a huge show about how, you know, the economy is clearly doing well because the chocolate rations are being increased, even though they have been, you know, initially decreased. So it's, but back to your more specific point about conditioning is, unfortunately, because we as human beings are creatures of habit, and because the government and the government's, you know, agencies have collected a lot of information on how human beings operate, I do think that they have a lot of information and they have extensive abilities. First of all, they have a lot of resources and therefore they have an immense capacity to be able to manipulate our decision-making functions, you know, unfortunately. And so we kind of have to understand that. We have to understand that they are always going to seek to condition us, and understand that sometimes they are going to dangle a carrot in front of us. What we may not necessarily know is, first of all, does that carrot come with other conditions? Is that carrot poisoned, you know, just to continue with the metaphor?
Wow, okay. Does the carrot ever come without conditions, I think is the bigger question at this stage. I mean, it just seems like if you take federal money for any reason, you have to sign up for all of their, you know, their...
Right. I think that's the issue. I mean, we've always had, as part of human nature, I was thinking when your kids are little, you'd use sticker charts and so forth. You know, you read so many books, I'm going to get you, you know, I did that. It's positive reinforcement. But the problem is it's being used more and more. And like you said, with a whole bunch of strings attached that can be detrimental and to our health, our psyche, whatever. And back to when you started, Brad, about, you know, what you said with the military, the Constitution and our rights and freedoms. That's what we're at risk with some of
them. Yeah, tremendous risk. So there is a military principle that is known as creating multiple dilemmas. So what that is that when you put together a military plan, you know, for some sort of operation that you're going to execute, you want to give the enemy multiple dilemmas. A way to think about that is almost kind of like, you know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. So what does that look like? You know, you put the enemy into a situation where the enemy commander has multiple significant problems that he has to deal with. And by trying to concentrate on one problem, he leaves himself vulnerable to the other. So that same principle is often used against us. And there's a very, very clear example here. You know, when you look at people who say, I am going to lose my job if I don't take this shot. So you've just given somebody two problems, because some of these individuals, and I know people like this. I know people who had to make a calculated decision and take a shot that they knew could potentially, give them health problems, but they had to do it because they couldn't lose their job, because if they lost their job, they would put their family at risk. And so, and I'm not here to say whether their decision was right or wrong. What I'm here to say is those people were clear-eyed in their assessment of what potentially taking the shot would be. And they made a decision based on the information that they had, which at least in my mind puts them in a different category of people who either had no idea that the shots might be harmful, or you know, took the shots for some sort of like superfluous reason, like wanting to travel or go to the movie theater or whatever. But what I think is extremely diabolical is these people who, to some degree, knowingly almost had to prostitute their bodies in order to be able to put food on the table for their kids. You know, and that to me is diabolical. But it goes back to that principle of what they've done is they gave a lot of us, you know, multiple problems to where how do you get out of this one way or the other, you know?
Right. There's so much there. I know. It's just, it is amazing. And I think it's disheartening somewhat because there's, you know, it's like, who, and we've talked about this, Stephanie, who do you trust? You want to trust your government. You want to trust your military and so forth. And
do you want to trust Biden?
Well, no, I don't. I'd say that you want. I said you want to. Absolutely
like
not.
How far down that road do you actually want to go? Yes.
I do not trust the White House occupant. No. You know, I said before, I cannot say the word president. I don't think he knows he is president. However, that's a whole nother show. But you want to trust the and when it's in your face, as it was for you more than anyone, Brad, you know, I'd have to think to some degree that was kind of disheartening to you because, as you mentioned, you pledged to uphold the Constitution and, you know, all of these things and wonderful things that we want our military and all of us to do. And to come, you know, come to that realization had to be tough, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's certainly uncomfortable, right? You know, so when I said earlier at the beginning of the show that I'm happy with the way things worked out, you know, that's true. Like I'm at peace with it, but that doesn't mean that I'm not, you know, frustrated at even having to be in that situation. Am I angry? Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm a little bit angry about it for sure. Do I think that I was done wrong? Yes, me and many other people, for sure.
I was going to say, were there other people that joined you in leaving, or were you kind of the only person in your... I mean, there were people that left the military over...
Yeah, there were people that left the military. Were there people who left kind of with me? No, I was kind of alone in my decision because of my rank and my position. So, in fact, people may not be aware of this, right? But across the entire active duty Army, I don't know how many battalion commanders there are, but there are a couple hundred, and there were only two that refused the shot and were therefore relieved. So two of several hundred, I was one of those two. So it was, and if you look at the other service branches, you know, the Navy, the Air Force, I mean, the numbers would have been extremely comparable. So you're talking about kind of at my level, virtually everyone just went along with it, to include very good friends of mine, people who are my friends now. And we've had words, you know, we've had discussions about it, and I can't see inside their heads. I wish I could, you know, I wish I could kind of see what some of them are thinking. They don't necessarily disclose that a lot to me, but I have to believe, and I do believe, that there are many people right now in the military, they're in leadership positions, that are personally conflicted. They are personally conflicted with the situation that they have allowed themselves to be in. And I'm talking about those who not only took the shot themselves, but kind of pushed down that order, which we now just incontrovertibly, we know it was unlawful, but they pushed that order down on others. They forced all their subordinates either take the shot or, you know, potentially lose their careers. But then many service members who did take the shots are now injured, and in some cases, you know, worse.
And, you know, the one thing that keeps going through my head as we're talking is the scary part is that you're the person I want in the military because you're the person that's upholding my rights.
Yes.
Those are people that will fold to the American Constitution, like will fold before it. Like they're not going to uphold it. If they
you don't
can't
have
do
as much
it,
confidence in their ability to protect us.
Like I'm sitting here thinking, oh my gosh, this is the end. You are the person we need, and you are the person that no longer exists in the military.
Yeah.
That's a horrific thought.
Yeah, it is. So not, you know, because it's about me specifically, but you're right. But, you know, but big picture, you know, not necessarily about me personally, but the individuals who resisted are now outside of the military, or if they somehow squeaked through, you know, they were able to kind of stall long enough to where the 2023 National Defense Authorization Act put a stop to the mandate. If they were able to kind of limp along to that point, in all honesty, their career is probably, you know, irreparably marred, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where people begin to start to talk in terms of, well, was this a loyalty test. And I firmly believe that it was. You know, I'm not the first person to come up with that idea. And so, but I do believe whether it was intended as such or not, I can tell you it became a de facto loyalty test to where you had to show the Army, are you loyal to the Constitution and the law? Are you loyal to the uniform that you put on? Are you loyal to the American citizenry? Or are you loyal to the organization? You know, the military as an organization and maybe your boss who is giving you orders. And so that becomes very uncomfortable because now you have individuals. This is exactly how I felt. I felt like I was being pulled in two different directions between my country and the military. Now, if you live in a country that is a functioning republic and operates the way that it should within the constitutional framework, you know, the way our country was designed, then that wouldn't happen. You wouldn't have the military attention with the country that it purportedly serves. That wouldn't happen. So what happens when you do have that tension? Well, I mean, to me, I mean, I had to, you know, showcase my loyalty to the Constitution, to the country, and to my, you know, my countrymen, you know, fellow Americans, as opposed to this organization. And again, I say organization, but what I really mean are the people who run the organization. I have nothing against the Army as an institution or the armed forces.
Right.
And that's what I was thinking. I mean, I know I have two daughters who are in their early 20s. They have friends who are in the military. Sure. You know, a lot of them took a shot. They're good guys. And I was thinking, I think some of them, you know, they're not thinking, you know, they're not thinking through all of this. And what it means, and you were a little more mature and into your career a little more, you know, and that's the shame of it, because you have these people that are good people serving our country, but put in that situation by, I think, a lot of nefarious reasons. I mean,
oh yeah, yeah, and I brook no tolerance for what happened at kind of the senior leader level in the military. So within our active duty military, we have slots for about 600 in the active duty. You know, military, we have slots for about 600 generals and admirals, 1-star to 4-star, about 600 total. That's how many billets we have for officers of that rank. Of those roughly 600-ish that are currently serving active duty right now at the general and admiral ranks, every single one of them went along with this, because if they hadn't, they'd already be gone, you know? And none of them, and I repeat, none of them have the courage or the integrity or the love of country or the dedication to the Constitution to which they took an oath to come out and speak out against once what they've done. Our military is run by criminals and cowards. And I mince no words. In fact, I'll repeat that statement. Our military is run by criminals and cowards. I'm not saying everyone in uniform is a criminal or a coward, but those at the top are absolutely and categorically criminals and cowards. There's no other way that I can say it. Now, there was a lot of obfuscation about the way in which the mandate went into effect 2.5 years ago. And I could understand how people didn't necessarily understand or didn't catch the bait and switch between the, you know, the Comirnaty and the Pfizer BioNTech that we talked about. They went to great lengths to try and hide that. I'm not blaming people for what they may or may not have understood 2.5 years ago. I'm blaming people for not understanding what's going on 2.5 years later. When so many question marks have come up, there have been so many red flags. And at this point, if you're a senior leader in the military, you know there are problems with what happened, and you should have done your due diligence to look into this. And so if you're still claiming ignorance about the mandate and its legality 2.5 years later, it's because you are willfully ignorant. And another way to say willfully ignorant is cowardice.
Well, and I would say that if you could figure it out, that any other officer could have taken the time to figure it out as well. I mean, I don't think you needed to be a rocket scientist to see what was happening. I really don't.
Well, I think that goes back to how we started this, that we just don't, it's mind boggling how people don't see it or admit to seeing it. You know,
sure.
Still.
Yeah.
And whether it's military or even any walk of life or society, you can have people who are having all kinds of injuries and so forth and think, you know, maybe it's this, or people, you know, keep getting the shot, keep getting sick and say, well, I'm glad I got it or I would have been sicker. And it's like, you keep getting sick. If you got smallpox.
Like, how do you know that?
You know, if you kept getting smallpox, you wouldn't keep getting this. I don't understand it.
Right.
So now that you're out of the military, you've been out for how long now? A year or two?
So I've been out almost a year and a half. Yeah.
And were you able to find another job?
So, I mean, you know, there's a couple things that I've been doing, and I've done quite a bit of work for about the past, I guess, 9 months or so with IPAC EDU, who people might be familiar with that. You know, IPAC stands for the Institute of Pure and Applied Knowledge, EDU meaning education. So I work with Dr. James Lyons Weiler there. In educating others who want to empower themselves through knowledge. In fact, that's the slogan for IPAC EDU, empower yourself through knowledge. So I do some work there with Dr. Jack, just some work behind the scenes to kind of help IPAC EDU run. But then I also have been an instructor for a course that I've been teaching about the past 6 months. It's about to conclude, and we're gonna kick off another one here pretty soon as well. So I've been occupying myself doing a lot of that as well.
Yeah, that's a huge.
We had him on our show.
Yeah. We had Jack on our show. Yeah, we're big. I'm a big supporter of IPAC. I love IPAC, and I think he's just Jack is a scientist who actually has integrity. You know, kind of like you. It's difficult to find those people these days.
You know, and what you're echoing, and it may sound, if someone's listening, they may sound, wow, that was a little harsh, or to say that we've had other guests on here who've had military backgrounds and careers who are a bit apoplectic with what's happening. Representative Scott Perry was in the I think the Army. Was he in the Army?
He's in the Army
For many years, and talked about just his feelings about some things in the military that are happening that he's very upset with, and so forth. So this is not just one person saying this,
the good people who are no longer associated with the military.
And I have a question, because again, I know some people in my family, and again, friends of my daughters and so forth that are in the military. Some of them want to make a career. What would you suggest to those young guys, girls too, who love serving their country? I think they're young. I think there's a difference between an enlisted kind of guy that's maybe 22 years old, you know, and maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, versus someone who's been in there for 19 years. You know, what would you tell those guys and girls? Because we want them to serve, we need people to protect us. But what would be your advice to them as they navigate this?
So I would say don't join. So I actually would not encourage people to join right now. So I would say, you know, first of all, I would thank them for wanting to serve their country. I think that is laudable in every way. And I can certainly understand it as somebody who grew up and wanted to serve myself and therefore did. Here's the problem. The problem is joining the military is not like taking some other job. You know, once you join the type of contract that you're under, you're going to have to fulfill that obligation. It's going to be very, very difficult to get out. You can't just have a disagreement at work one day and quit. So that's it. If there are people out there who have their heart set on joining, while I would say, hey, maybe let's look at some other ways in which you might be able to serve your country, perhaps even better given the environment. But if you have your heart set on joining, then I understand, in which I would give a couple of points of advice. One, try and figure out the deal with the shots is not going to stop, whether it's this shot or other shots. So look at ways in which you can, you know, lawfully,
I'm under the firm belief this is just a trial run. There's more coming, because I can't say it every week. It's a control mechanism more than anything else.
Right. Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
Exactly. And I also do not trust the people who run our military. I am not at all convinced that our military will not be used against American citizens if things continue the way that they're going. I'm not saying
that's what my thought was when you're talking. That's exactly who they have left in the military, is they don't have integrity. You know, they're not willing to stand up for the Constitution. What does it matter if we're American citizens? They don't care.
Yeah, right. All they have to do is create some sort of plausible sounding, you know, logic as to why this group of Americans has to be targeted by the military. And Unfortunately, a lot of military officers have proven that if it sounds plausible enough, and if they think that they can be, quote unquote, legally covered, then they, and by legally, I mean that just, you know, the lawyers will tell them that this is okay, despite what the actual law may or may not say. But a lot of these military officers will just go ahead and do what they're told, unfortunately. So, and, you know, with my previous comment about what I said about the criminals and cowards, again, those comments are directed towards our upper echelon of military leaders. I am directing those comments towards, you know, generals and admirals of our active duty force who I think are criminals and cowards, which is why I've used that term repeatedly when I've talked about them. Also, if there are young people out there who want to join, they just have their heart set on it. Another piece of advice that I would say is you have to make the decision before you ever join, before you ever put on that uniform, that under no conditions will you follow an unlawful order. Because that way, if you are ever presented with the opportunity in which you've got to make a decision as to whether or not you're going to follow an unlawful order or potentially endure the consequences of not doing so, you need to have already made that decision rather than trying to make it in the, you know, the intensity of the moment. Because that moment may come where you are asked to follow unlawful orders, and you've got to already have clear in your mind that that is a red line that you will not cross. Final point of advice for those who might want to join the military. Joining the military is about serving the country. That is true, right? But also the country is made up of people. So, you know, when you serve the military, it's about the people, not just some like abstract notion of the country. And it's important to always kind of keep that in mind as well.
Well, this is very, this is heavy.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I was sitting there thinking we hired an attorney. So our daughter, who was in her senior year of college at the college, went mandate and fought about that, you know, so she could graduate and go on to her career. And we felt like, you know, freedom fighters. We are freedom fighters, but this is nothing. And that was nothing like this. And it's a stark reality, you know, when we have our institutions that we love and revere, to look at them, you know, and say, things have to change.
Yes.
Things have to change. And we thank you, Brad, and people like you for being willing to stand up and sometimes, you know, calling it out like it is, because things don't change until it's confronted. You can't, you know, you have to do that.
Sure. You know, and I know you're friends with Dr. Jack, Dr. James Lyons Weiler and his IPAC EDU. So I would encourage people, you know, if they want to interact with me, there's a course that I'm finishing a course actually on dystopian literature that we've just read through 1984, which I mentioned earlier, and a couple other novels, because I think those are instructive about kind of understanding what's going on now. But there's another course with some other books that we're going to go through that we're going to start in a couple of weeks. People can check that out at ipac-edu.org. But also there's kind of an informal office hours weekly session that I'm going to be doing as well, where people can tune in with me once a week and we can just kind of chat about whatever is topical that day and go through and come up with ideas and just almost have some informal whiteboard sessions about what's going on. But people can check that out as well at IPAC EDU.
So basically you're going to have Save America sessions.
That's really what it is all about, you know, and you guys know that. I mean, we got a lot of people who are great red-blooded Americans that never thought they might see themselves doing what they're doing. And now, you know, here we are, you're freedom fighters, just trying to figure it out, you know, where we go from one day to the next.
Right.
I have to say one thing, and I don't know if this is appropriate or not, but you can't see Brad here, but he has wonderful hair. And I am just going to say, Brad, that probably has been growing out since you left the military is what I'm thinking.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. So about 18 months.
Yeah, so I applaud that, because when I had COVID, my hair fell out, and Stephanie owns a natural health practice, so she told me what to take to make my hair grow back. So I've been all proud of myself for wearing a ponytail, but you have awesome hair.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the endorsement deals from the shampoo and conditioner companies, but they haven't called me yet. So
well, they should. If any of you are listening in the shampoo industry, call Brad, because he's got great hair.
You're missing out. Yes.
Was that okay to say?
I mean, what are we gonna do? I think, to be honest with you, we're pretty sure we're on a list, Brad.
Oh, yes.
We know we're gonna end up at a demon camp. And I would like to say I would not mind. If you were part of our crew, we would drink margaritas with you.
Yes, we're hoping our part of the camp has a pool.
Yeah, right. No, I hear you, you know, and it's funny, you know, I make those jokes too, but it's kind of funny that, that we're even at that situation where we've even got to look at things like that. You know, we have to ask ourselves, you know, how do we get here as a country? And, you know, we live in a republic with a, you know, a lowercase r, right? So the story is that Benjamin Franklin walks out of the Philadelphia Convention the summer of 1787, and he's approached and someone says, "Hey, what kind of government did you give us?" He answers, "A republic if you can keep it." Everyone's heard that story. So on the one hand, hey, it looks like we didn't keep it. But on the other hand, what does it mean to live in a republic? When you live in a republic, you do have a lot of rights that are safeguarded. For example, you know, ours via the Constitution. But there's another side to that coin, and it's the responsibilities that come along with those protected rights. So in a republic, there is an immense duty that rests on the shoulders of the citizens. So we have to kind of look ourselves in the mirror and say, well, how did we get here? You know, what have we collectively as a people, where have we collectively as a people failed to allow this to happen? And then how do we get ourselves out of it? And I tell you, it's by being, we can't sit this out. We cannot sit on our hands on the couch and just let other people fight the battle. That is one of the things that has angered me the most, is everyone wants to be a hero until it's time to do something heroic. And then everyone wants someone else to fight the battle, you know?
Wow.
And so when you are a republic and you're a citizen and the future of the republic rests on our shoulders collectively, that's all of us. You got to be informed, you got to be active, and you got to be engaged. You know, we can't sit this one out. Things are not going to go our way if too many of us, through fear or, you know, inaction, just decide to not get involved.
That's exactly right.
Right.
It's worth everything to me.
And that's our founding fathers. You know, a lot of them thought that they were going to lose it all. And many did. But we have to do the same thing. And I think it goes to what we say every week on this show. Remember, wherever you are, to the extent that you're able, stand up, step forward, and speak out.